So there's two guys named Goldberg. And Goldberg and Goldberg both like to make money. So Goldberg and Goldberg decided to get together and make a business together because Goldberg was very good at sales and interacting with people and getting people in. The other Goldberg was very good in running the business, the accounting, etc. So Goldberg and Goldberg made this company called Goldberg and Goldberg Limited Liability Corporation. So Goldberg's making money, he's happy. Goldberg's making money, and he's happy. One day Goldberg says, you know, I can make more money without Goldberg. Right? Another Goldberg says, I can make more money without Goldberg. So that was the end of their happiness. Some people get married, and their goal is to be happy. So they said, well, they're going to be more happy together with their wife. So they end up with Goldberg and Goldberg, Limited Liability Corporation. That the goal isn't somebody else, the goal is himself. One day the guy wakes up and says, you know what, I'm happier without her. And he says, I'm happier without him. End of Goldberg and Goldberg, Limited Liability Corporation. So, we make New Year's resolutions. There's New Year's resolutions. And I saw a thought for Yaakov Weinberg that sadly says, if you compare New Year's resolutions to Rosh Hashanah Kabbalahs, you have in the Rambam Kabbalahs, he says most New Year's resolutions are about losing weight, stopping to smoke, something about making the person happy. I'm going to accomplish my goals. The goal is, it's something about the person themselves. Yom Neroyim, I'm going to stop speaking Lashon Hara, I'm going to start davening better. It's about something more than that. But even that, if the deep down our goal is we want to be happier with ourselves, and that's the only goal, so it's New Year's resolutions. So it's nicer New Year's resolutions, you know. So it's the boss says, you know, New Year's resolution. All right, I'm going to be nicer to my staff. Why? Because he'll feel better about himself when he's nicer to his staff. But at the end of the day, it's about himself. We spoke of Rosh Hashanah. We spoke about that. The moment of creation of man, it has to be the most tender, touching moment in the history of the Bria. And all of the whole universe, the moment that Hashem created man, was a moment of absolute nesina. Hashem created the whole world and everything because He wants to give. He created man. He didn't need to, because He wants to give. It's the most touching, tender, sweet moment which ever existed in the. And we commemorate it every year with Yom HaDin. Instead of commemorating it with a birthday cake or something, you know, like a present, you know, for every person in the room, it's a Yom HaDin. So we spoke about why is that? Because Din helps us understand the depths of that moment. But what's the next step? Right? So this couple gets engaged, couple gets married, and their focus at that point in time is not about taking; it's about giving. They want to give. Each member of that wants to give to the other person and make them happy. And the more they give, the more they connect, and the more they grow together as a unit. If we sat on Rosh Hashanah and we felt the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Av, the kapitza which we say for Elul, the Elul of Anila Doidi B'Doidi Li. So I'm there for my Doid, and my Doid is there for me. The focus is I am there to give to Kodesh Baruch Hu. You say the kapitza B'Dabar Hashem Ori B'Yishi, that there's an or, there's a clarity. And what does it say in the capital? That no matter where it is, how unlovable I could be, my parents would abandon me, the Bershon will still take me in. I'm the most unlovable being which walked the face of mankind. The Bershon says, I love you. But what's the result of that? Oh, I feel really good about myself, and I enjoy that very much. I enjoy being loved, and I feel so good about myself. I'm going to have a happy year because I feel good. If that's all we end up with, we sort of missed the point. So it's the guy gets engaged, and his Kala loves him very much. He enjoys being loved. So that's it. There he is. I feel so happy being loved. End of the conversation. That's where it ends. That's not a marriage. The mitzvah of Ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha b'chol b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'adecha. We read the Akedah. Rosh Hashanah. If we feel Kadosh Baruch Hu's love, and we truly feel it, the purpose of it is that feeling of that chesed and care and concern of Kadosh Baruch Hu, to the depths of our being, we feel it. So we feel that we have to give back. We might feel that what we have to give back is pretty, you know, not so significant, because what are we compared to Kadosh Baruch Hu? But Kadosh Baruch Hu says he wants to hear from me. He wants us to daven to him. He wants us to do mitzvahs. So every mitzvah is an opportunity that the Baruch Hu created for mankind to connect to him, to give to him, as it were. The Baruch Hu allowed him to be need Klal Yisrael. We mentioned Friday night, there's a concept, Tzilu Oiz Elokim. The Baruch Hu needs us. The Baruch Hu needs our tefillahs. The Baruch Hu created a world which he set up in such a way that we must give to him. Which means he created this beautiful world that was so such a chesed on his part. He created a world which we can give to him. Because otherwise, what are we? We're just recipients again. The Baruch Hu says, no, I need you. I need you to give. So you can be a true partner in the relationship. And you can get what a true partner in a relationship accomplishes by giving to the other person and caring about them and being concerned about them and being interested in them, that they bond together by doing so. And the Abbas Hashem, which comes by giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chol levavecha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'adecha, by giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is what allows us to become dovik in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Otherwise, how we become dovek in a Kadosh Baruch Hu? It's just a one-sided relationship. So how do we give to a Kadosh Baruch Hu? We give by taking that which is challenging for us and which is precious to us and saying, you know what? How does a husband give to a wife in a relationship? How does a parent give to a child in a relationship? How do they do it? They focus on the needs of the other one. You know, I'd rather be sleeping, but my wife, you know, she's very tired, and I need to take care. Somebody's got to take care of her baby, so I do it because I want to give to my wife that she shouldn't have that pressure. And by doing so, I create more than I give. I really get. I get a relationship. Life is about a relationship with our Creator. There's nothing more important than life. There's only tachlis of life. Right? So all of the different things we talk about, is the point is, remove the distractions of what it's all about. So Rosh Hashanah is the or. Rosh Hashanah is that clarity. Like, wow, look what it means to have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So then you come to Yom Kippur and you correct it. I mentioned this last year that the Weinberg continues in that thought process, and he says, the Rambam, when he talks about the mitzvah of Vidui, the Rambam adds some words in the Vidui. The Rambam says that the Vidui starts with the words Ona Hashem. In the Vayda, when we quote the Nusach of the video of the Kohen Gadol, it always says Ona Hashem, Ona Bashem, it's Ona Hashem. But the Rambam puts that into the Nusach of Vidui. Every time a person says Vidui, the person has to say the words Ona Hashem. Some people actually have in the Nusach of some of the older Machzorim, they have the words Ona. Elokeinu Elokeinu said Ona. It says whatever that word Ona means, difficult word to translate. It says, Ona Hashem, because the Rambam says, the mitzvah of Vidui is the mitzvah lifnei Hashem. What does it mean, the mitzvah lifnei Hashem? So he continues, he says, who else are you talking to? Who else would you be mitzvah to? The answer is to yourself. I blew it, I smoked too much this year. So who am I talking to? Myself. I ate too much this year. I wasn't happy this year. I wasn't careful. I went. It's all about myself. So a husband comes to wife and he says, you know, I really had a difficult year together. We didn't really work out stuff together, you know, because I wasn't so nice, and I resolved this year to be more nice, and therefore I will be a happier person. See, that means about it to his wife. He means it's not a to say he's frustrated with himself. He doesn't like himself. He's not happy with himself. He wants to be happy with himself. So therefore he's mizvada to himself. I need to correct myself. So I will be happy. Ana Hashem. The Bereshit, you were affected by my actions. Now we know Kadosh Baruch Hu can't be affected. At some level the Bereshit can't be affected. But within the hug of the Bria that the Bereshit created, mankind's actions make a difference. And the Bereshit stands there, like we said, Rosh Hashanah, with Laman Cholakim Cham. He wants to pour out a desire. He has a tremendous desire to give Chayim and everything which is good to mankind. And he says, "But I can't because you abuse it and misuse it, and it hurts you. I don't want to give it to you if it's going to hurt you." So we're the child is stopping the parent from giving what he wants. The child's correcting that. Not just because the parents happy for giving, the child's happy for getting, and everybody's wonderful. That's where it ends. You can't dance a simple Torah with a Torah. What are you dancing about? You're dancing about a relationship. The Torah is the makom where you meet. But you're dancing with your Creator. So the first step is sometimes we do things which are, you know, I'd rather stay in bed and let my wife take care of the baby, but I care about my wife. So I get out and I take care of her. I'd rather stay in bed and not daven, because I'd rather stay in my bed. So then the focus is me. The Nefesh HaChaim says that the midah of gaiva is the via voice of tumah. He says because all other tumas, all of the midah swirls, everything else is rooted in the midah of gaiva. What does he mean? He means the midah of ani. If you start with all of the midahs, they all start with the word ani. I want this. I have taiva. I have gaiva. I have rotzen. I want covet. But there's always that word I. The focus is I. The focus is me. Life is about me. And then there's the people which, you know, they mamash, the focus isn't about them. They notice other people's needs. They care about other people. They're with it. They get it. How they get it? Because the focus is not on themselves. It's on another person. It's outside of themselves. So Sadalta and Kelim says, you know, Haloi Dovrahu. That Arav Minu is the Mura Chesed. The definition of chesed, the depth of chesed which exists in the Bria, is defined by Avraham Avinu, Amura Chesed. And Avraham Avinu is the Rosh HaMaminim. He's the first one who found the Kodesh Boruch in the Bria. How did he do it? Oh, it happened to be. He's a good philosopher, and he's also a very nice guy. Really? That's it? No connection? He says, Adarab. The person who's able to focus outward and not on himself sees the Kodesh Boruch all around him. You walk through the Bria and the Bria screams a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But you walk through the Bria and all you're seeing is yourself. It doesn't scream a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it screams Reingold. Right? Reingold's very happy over here, and Reingold, this is in Reingold's path, and Reingold's frustrated with this. It's all a Reingold. So what do you say, Kadosh Baruch Hu? But then I don't notice the person next to me either. And the person who sees the person next to him, because he's truly gotten outside of himself and he's noticed that, says, you don't see Bari Olam everywhere? Of course you see Bari Olam everywhere. That's what the Alta says. Alta from Kalam says. So this midah, the car is the midah of Nadiva Salev. I give away my lave. And we have a problem because the Morris says, Godam Mitzvah Boisam, Mishenam Mitzvah Boisam. The Morris actually has a Havamina. The Morris said that, you know, that. Since he was a saginor and he's blind and he's not chayav mitzvahs, so he has a gevaldik opportunity to do the mitzvahs just because he loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's gevaldik gezach. Then he found out that he said, "God will silver voice of Mishenim." But so I say, if someone comes in the loch like a chachamim that a mitzvah is chayim, now I want to be happy. I want to be a mitzvah. Okay, so it means we have two people over here. We have a man and a woman taking a lulav. So a man's chayim and lulav. She's doing because the mitzvah takes lulav. A woman's potter from lulav. She's doing because she wants to do lulav. She says, "Don't keep it to lulav." She's doing because she cares. She wants to do the mitzvah lulav. Says the man is greater than the woman. But what happened to the Nadiva Salev? So Rav Olbo says the fascinating thing is the makom of the Nadiva Salev for the mitzvah v'oisa is in simcha. The makom where I show how much I care. So the husband and the wife, they make up an arrangement that in the nighttime he takes care of the baby. Right? That's the arrangement. They sign it with they take it to court, they sign it up, it's a real arrangement. So now he wakes up in the night, because that's the arrangement. So where's the love for his wife? If he does it happily, with simcha, I mean, he cares. He says, "Well, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's the arrangement. She cooks and cleans. And we have this arrangement, so I gotta get up." There's no ava there. There's no care. There's no concern. There's no giving. It's just keeping the rules. These are the rules of the house. Last time I didn't keep the rules of the house, they threw me out. So what am I supposed to do? Right? Doghouse, Right? So the simcha that the person does it with, I'm so happy to get up and do that because I care about my wife. The simcha that you do a mitzvah is in Nidivas Halev. The mitzvah oyser gets to have the nativist life also when he's also besimcha. Tachas Hashem avadas Hashem alakecho besimcha b'tuv leiv of mirav kol avadas lo yivecho be'emer b'chesu kol. The Rambam says the partial touch of the pasuk is not referring to that the einish comes because of simcha. It's just saying a chibuf. You should know that part of the klala is when you had an opportunity you didn't use it, so now the opportunities will be gone. And it's gonna be really bad, not because, but. Instead of, right? So we're contrasting the pain. You used to be all the way up there, and part of the kol is now you're really down there, right? But that's how the Targum touches it. But the Rambam, the Arizal, they touch it. That's the reason. The reason why the whole Techukah comes is because there's people in Klal Yisrael who keep every single one of the Taryag mitzvahs unhappily. That's it. Every single mitzvah. Avadat Hashem alakecha. But lo avadat b'simcha b'tuv leiva. I daven. I learn. I sit and I learn. And I learn about Sfarad Rabbah. I learn 17 hours every 16. I'm a Shatzadi Gomer. I can create Nisim Gluyim. I can make 27 hours a day of learning Torah. But I'm not happy. That's it. Gantz Teichacho comes because of that. It's a Pella, a Tzuma. No, it's not. You're a Mitzvah voice. He's got to do it anyway. So I'm that's the deal. Hashem created the world. He's creator. I'm the creation. There's Yira. And, the Yira is Hashem and Nipah and Nara. So I have Yira. I'm there. I keep it all. Because otherwise, I don't. I'm an honest person. I don't deserve to be in this world otherwise. But the tachlis of the whole Torah is the relationship with your Creator. And that's created by the act of giving to your Creator. And by doing mitzvah that you're mechuyev to, what are you giving? You're giving because you care, because you want to do the mitzvah. And if you don't want that, you're not giving at all. So you have no relationship. So to Bereshit, if the whole purpose of the whole Briya is to have a relationship with your Creator, because Lachar Meir Esim, the Bereshit created, the goal is to become Kiryas Elokim LiTov, to come to Olam Haba and be mechuber to your Creator. You're not mechuber. See, you blew the whole Bria. You blew the whole Tachlis of the Bria. So what do you want me to do? The Bereshit says, "I can't." The whole thing is a joke. I don't need you really. I just created this whole thing as a way for them to allow you to come over to me, and you're not doing it. Okay, so you know what? Zayt Brigazunt, have a good day. All right? And that's called a Teichach. Revolver, when he talks about the midah of simcha, he says simcha is a state, if you look up, you know, happiness. Happiness, Merriam-Webster, state of contentment. Right? Elsa the cow, out in the field, contented, happy cows, right? They're very contented, right? So why aren't we Elsa the cow? And just like, why are we happy? She's just like, you know, so content out there in the field that she's just having a good time with her. Elmer and Elsie, they're having a good time with her, right? Because there's conflict inside of us. But if there's no conflict, then we're not human beings. When we resolve the conflict, and both sides say, you know, I'm happy to be here, I really like doing this, that's simcha. So you can go to the most fun, you know, amusement park in the world. If you're focused on in the moments of being there, and not, well, you know, I need to take care of this, and I wish I was doing that, and what about that? You're not going to enjoy the most fun amusement park in the world. You paid $97 to get in there for the stupid day, you know? $65 for a day for a human amusement park. Are you crazy? And then you pay extra for the rides, you know? Like, you know, nowadays, they make you pay extra for the rides also, like, you know? You know, when I was a kid, it was the admission was $10 a day. You know, and if you're under 12, it was like 8. You know, it's not a sticker shock, because I thought it was a joke. Imagine a person goes there and he's busy thinking about, well, I wish I was there, I wish I was doing that. There's no simcha. Terrence says, whatever frustration that he leaves it all behind, and now he focuses on the moment, I'm happy to be here. Adarav, for him it's much more geschmack because he's able to leave all of that behind and enjoy that moment. There's a certain hanoah of a being there. A person is wondering what's going to be with his life and everything is worried with it, and he goes into, he puts it aside for a moment and he goes to the moment of talking to his creator. And he says, you know what? I want to be in that moment. Person comes home and he had a hard day at work and it's a lot of things on his mind, and he focuses on, I want to spend time focusing on being with my wife. That's precious moments, because you're able to create that focus. He's distracted, so he's there with his wife. He's not really with his wife. This parent is there speaking to his child. He's not there with his child, because he wants to be somewhere else. No, that's not true. He wants to be here. Because if he wouldn't want to be here, he wouldn't be here. He'd be somewhere else. He wants to be spending time with his kid. But he also wants to be spending time somewhere else. So then he walks away after that whole interaction, feeling guilty and frustrated and upset and, you know, and sapped of energy. So that's what our davening looks like. I'd rather be in bed, or taking care of something, or learning, or whatever it is. I'd rather be anywhere but here. Daven. But the mice, I got a daven, you know, I'm not supposed to throw me in, you know, this is how long this should be. Okay, so I daven, you know. And I felt guilty after that, I didn't daven what I was supposed to, you know, did I really say, you know, what, like, person's learning. You know, we're yeshiva. Right? At this point, at this stage of our life, you know, our focus is on learning. Some point in a person's life, that's a precious. Those are precious moments, very precious moments. It gets an hour a day, maybe, you know, maybe more, maybe less. There's a moment, the stage of a person's life, where he has hours. How much hours to learn? And part of his mind saying, I'd rather be somewhere else. I'd rather be doing something else. I'd rather this, I'd rather that. So you can't stay focused. And you feel sapped of energy at the end. But part of you is saying, you know, it's most important to learn. Part of you is saying, I don't want to learn. I mean, I also, you know, the Rebbe wakes up the Bacher for davening. You know, the Bacher wakes up, and then he doesn't come for davening. He says, what happened? He says, Rebbe, I woke up and I had this fight back and forth. Should I? I was so exhausted from the fight, I went back to sleep. You know, yeah, you're more sapped of energy at the end of the day. Not Sabbath because you had a productive day, because you spent the whole day fighting with your Yetzer Hara. The Simcha is when we find a way to recognize that this is, like we spoke about, this is the best way. The Rosh Hashanah created some people that they learn easily. I told you about a person, set them down, like a machine, goes like this, back and forth, 6 hours straight without moving. No problem. And there's people like that. I wasn't created like that. I wasn't created with glue on my pants. I was created with ants on my pants. So what's the pshat? The Rosh Hashanah loves him. He made him make it easy. And me, he doesn't like. I mean, that's all. That's the chara. Or clearly, the Rosh Hashanah did not want me to learn, because if he wanted me to learn, he would have created me with glue in my pants, not with ants in my pants. So I have a clear raya from heaven that that's what Rosh Hashanah wants me to do, and therefore I'm going to do whatever. It's clear. Yeah. I just want to point out that, the Simonim from Shemayim belong to Nevi'im, and the Chazal say Nevi'im belongs to, you can finish the sentence, Noshim, Ktanim, and Shaitim. So if you don't feel that you belong to the first two groups, you don't want to belong to the third group, so don't believe that you have Simonim and Shemayim. So what's Pshat? It's a fair question. The Rosh Hashanah couldn't have made me with glue in my pants. I mean, it's so much easier. He wanted me to have the challenge. He wanted me to have, that's going to take longer for me to get there. And more difficult. So, the Moshe we spoke, remember the boys, right? So, some people get this thrill out of climbing Mount Everest. Mount Everest is, why? Because it's very challenging. It wouldn't be challenging, there'd be no thrill. They take this helicopter, they attach it to the bottom, they fly up to the top of Mount Everest. It's nice to be, but that's not the geschmack of Mount Everest. They have a cannon that shoots you all the way up to the top, and you land there with this nice parachute. Here I am, flame tries by, parachute down, top of Mount Everest, gewaldig, I'm top of Mount Everest, I climbed Mount Everest. No, you didn't. The Hanoi is climbing Mount Everest. Now, let's say a person is handicapped. So they're not going to climb Mount Everest. So they climb Mount Pleasant, right? Mount Pleasant is 1,000 feet tall. And it's a little bit, But for a person who's disabled, it's the same thing as climbing Mount Everest. It's the exact same challenge with the exact same accomplishment. The only problem is, in regards to the getting your name in the paper, the big lights and the cameras, that you don't get. In regards to the personal hanoah of overcoming a challenge and getting somewhere, it's exactly the same thing. That's why Rosh Hashanah gave you answer your pants. That you can get the hanoah of climbing Mount Pleasant the same way the guy next to you needs to climb Mount Everest. So who does he like more? The guy who has to climb Mount Everest to get a thrill? The guy who only has to climb Mount Pleasant to get a thrill? Think about it. The problem is, our society measures things by accomplishment. So this guy knows so much more, and he's learned so many more hours, and he knows so many more hours. The Rosh Hashanah doesn't work like that. The Rosh Hashanah doesn't measure that. The Rosh Hashanah measures how much you moved, how much challenge you had, and how much you overcame that. And if for you sitting for half an hour learning focused is an accomplishment, that's more valuable to him than the person who learned 6 hours where it wasn't a challenge for him. Talmud gives a mashal. There's a father was nifter. He had he had a Yerusha. So son X, he gave over his Yerusha. He had these precious stones, precious gems, precious metals, worth millions and millions of dollars. That was one son. Second son, he gave him the mosh, he gave him a pile of fertilizer. Manure. Gigantic pile of manure. That's much bigger than the pile of the stones. Right? So you can imagine he's somewhat disappointed. But then he gave him a machine. And this machine changes tzoya into precious stones, into gems. But it takes a lot of work. Who did he love more? The guy who got stones as is, as much, or the guy got a pile to the heavens with a lot of work, but he can make a lot more stones? The fact that we have challenge is indicative of the fact that Bershom cares about us. He gave us a way to give to him. Without the Bershom creating challenge, we wouldn't have a way to give to him. And the greatest moment in the Bria is an opportunity for a human being to give to his creator. Because that's what allows us to connect to him. But we sit there and say, it's so hard. We missed the point. And we say, you know what, Bershom, I love you so much. I want to take that opportunity to give to you. I want that challenge. Because that's how I can show that I really care about this relationship. How much I recognize how much you give to me, and I want to give back to you also. Bershom, I love you. The most difficult parts of what all your desires. All of your mammon, every meter that the Bershom gives you, whatever it is. Purda says, nefesh is all of your, that means desire. Imesh is nafshecha, if you would like. Right? Rabbi Ramina says, lashon of desire. Take all your desires and give them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The desires steer you away from him. Rashi says, no. You're more important to me than they are. All of your talents. I'm a ma'od in this area. I'm very good at that. I'm very talented in. Take that very talent in and give it to your creator. That's why he gave it to you. So we don't want New Year's resolutions. We want Rosh Hashanah Kabbalahs. Rosh Hashanah is the day where we refocus on our beautiful relationship with our creator. And we spoke about the idea that how the more we realize the din, the more we realize the miyichim yamus, the more we realize how ephemeral life is. It's tenuous. You have no hold in it. You can't grab it. It's not yours. You're not a muchzik b'chlal. The Bershom is the muchzik. And he gives you life at every moment. And if at any moment he can take it away, instead of focusing on how scary that is and how saddening that is, you focus on how much he's given you all these moments until now. Look how much he gave me. He gave me life. It's not just the way Bershom gave me life at one point in time, and now I have life. Every moment he gives me life. Every moment there's a new beautiful nesina. Every moment there's a new creation, as it were. Every moment the Bershom is showing his beautiful countenance. Yerushim Ponav Elech, the Bershom is showing his love to you. He's giving you, caring for you. The fact that all these things can take it away is indicative of the fact it's so not muhsik. And it's so much at a constant matana. And you say brachas in the morning. And you understand the matana of feet. And the matana of eyes. And the matana of going to the bathroom. And the matana of clothes. And you feel you're cocooned in the Bershom's love. That's how you say brachas in the morning. You're supposed to feel a cocoon of the Bershom's love and care and concern for you. And you talk to your creator and you ask for something because it's a way for you to recognize that he's the source. And he's giving it to you. And you feel that love. We spoke about the idea that the first bracha is all it said. Elokei Avraham, the Ahava. Melech Uzer Mashiach Magen. Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah. I don't care what day it is. If you're mechavan that, Yoytze Davening. The Bershom loves you. That's all it's about. That's all you have to mechavan. The whole davening. The Bershom loves Klai Yisrael. He loves you. That's it. That's Rosh Hashanah. And from that vantage point, you can go to Yom Kippur and understand, like, I would like to patch up my relationship with him because I've missed that relationship. I've abused the relationship. I've hurt the relationship. And it's painful that I've abused that relationship, but I haven't taken advantage of the relationship. I haven't felt his love. I haven't reciprocated the love. I don't care about him. And I say, on Hashem, I'm standing in the presence of the Metzias of Havaya, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Kohen Gadol said the shame of Mefarish, the shame which is Mefarish everything, the clarity of everything, that how much the worship is the Bria and I'm not. And from that vantage point, Chatasi. The Rambam says, you said the word Chatasi, you heard it, you don't have to say Visi Pshati. Chatasi means I'm Chaser, I'm missing something. That's what you have to say. Chatasi. Word Chet, Rashi says, Lashon Chasor. Anochi achateno miyadid tevakshenu. It's like Rashi, loshen chesor. Ani ubeni shlomo beni chatoyim, loshen chesor. And Rashi says both places. And how do we give? We give with simcha. So if I can recommend a makom avodah for the year, it's simcha. It's simcha and mitzvahs. It's that a person puts on tefillin in the morning and he stops for a moment. He says, is he in mechaven? And the chassidim, they said, Hashem yichu kishu brichu b'dechilu or rechimu. So whether you say the same yichu kishu, that's very dangerous to say. Some hold you shouldn't say it. B'dechilu or rechimu. With yira and with love. B'dechilu, with trembling. With rechimu and with desire, with love. I'm putting on tefillin because I love my Creator. I'm taking lulav because I love my Creator. I'm davening because I love my Creator. And if we could get to the point where we feel a little of that, it'd be such a happy moment. I'm going over time a little bit, but excuse me, it is. Yom Kippur is around the bend. The story of the Vilna Gaon. The one year there was no Dalimin, there was no Esrig. In Vilna, is very far north. Esrig grows in the Mediterranean climate from the Mediterranean basin to Vilna in the fall is a very long distance. You're not growing Esregim in Vilna. There's no Esregim. How could it be that year the Vilna Goyen, the Tzaddik, the Kaddish, the Torah, the Goyen, the Tzaddik, they went and looked searching for an Dalamin, for an Esreg, for the Goyen. And they found the person who says, I should give up, if you give it to the Goyen, I'm not going to have the mitzvah either. But I'm asking him one condition. That all the schar that the Vilna Gaon gets from taking the Dalaminim belongs to me. That's a very scary type of condition. Now, you can speak to the Lamdonim, the Remaster, to exactly how the transfer of the kinyan of the Elam Haba goes from one person's mitzvah to another person's mitzvah. It's a different conversation. It's Dabar Shlobel Olam, Dabar Sheva Mamish, etc. You know, okay. How are you looking at him on that? Can you believe it? Well, I have to handle the shallah different. So they come to him on the Goyen with such a tonight, and their trepidation, the Goyen should be giving away his scarf for mitzvah. And the Goyen's Gabaldigasim. He says, for once, I'm able to, you know, in the back of your mind, you're doing the shame Abba to Kodesh Baruch Hu and Olam Haba. Now, we don't have that problem because we don't think about Olam Haba anyway. You know, we don't have that problem. But the Vilna Gaon, for the Vilna Gaon, Olam Haba was real. Olam Haba was just next door. I mentioned recently to somebody the story about the Chavetz Chaim, where Pierce Levinson was Nifter. Chavetz Chaim had a son-in-law, was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, was a Kohen Tzaddik. He was a Rebbe in the Yeshiva, they were in Radin, he was Nifter. At the end of the year, they made a Cheshbon, they had to figure out who's going to cover the Shiurim for the coming year. And they had a meeting, the Chofetz Chaim was with a meeting with the other members of the Hanhala. And so Rebbe X is going to say Shidduch this year, and Rebbe Y will say that year. And this Rebbe, right now he's not well, and he has to go to the spa for treatments. He'll be away for a few months. Somebody else, so-and-so has to cover his year. And a person is learning a Masechta Derekiah. Somebody has to cover his year. That's how the Chofetz Chaim said it. Yeah, Rehearsal is learning in the hells right now, so he can't come and say Shira anymore. So he's learning with the Rikiyah. But the Chofetz Chaim, Elam Haba is next door. There's Ran, there's tells the Matka, there's Mitzvah to the Rikiyah, you know. So he happened to be Mitzvah to the Rikiyah right now. He's not available to say Shira. Like, what are those do? We've got to find somebody to replace him. But Vilna Goyen, Elam Haba was real. It's next door. It's Mitzvah to the Rikiyah. It's like tells the Matka. There's the Vilna, tells the Matka, Elam Haba. You know, it's you know, Al-Sazel. And he's going to give away his Elam Haba. He says, you always have that Elam Haba in the back of your mind. And for once, I can do a mitzvah totally just because I can show my love for my Creator. And they said that the Goyen, that Sukkos, was in a state of Simchus, way beyond he ever been in any other year. And we hear the stories, and we say, you know, that story's sort of in the Goyen, and we're like totally mufkir from that. We can't feel an emotion of Hakaras HaTayv to our Creator. We can't feel an emotion of, Bershom, you know, I thank you so much. Bershom, I just feel so close to you for what you've done for me, and I want to give something back to you. Are we so far removed from that? It's so beyond our capacity. I don't, you know, how to say it. I was on a, you know, they don't have a Yitzhahara, you know. Rebbe Zohar doesn't have a Yitzhahara, you know. I'm sitting on a metro. I think I was coming back from a trip, so I made it out of DCA, so this way I can take the train back. So you know, so, or maybe it's a train trip. I think it was an Amtrak. So I was up to New York, had slept on the Amtrak. I'm now sitting in the metro. I'm coming back. You know, I'm being marvelous. I'm falling asleep a little bit. You know, saying a little bit to them. And there's this African American woman. They want to be politically correct. On the other side of the train over there, saying psalms out loud. You know, with no compunctions. You know. In the middle, she says, I love you, and she says the name of her Avodah Zarah, in front of the whole train. And I thought to myself, well, I wouldn't do that. Why not? Why not? I don't love him. I don't love my Creator more than she loves her Avodah Zarah. What am I scared of? People think I'm strange? First of all, people think you're strange anyway. That's, you know, I look really normal nowadays. Like, you know, nowadays you sit on the metro in a white shirt with a tie and a black suit, and you look really normal. And you have these strange things behind your ears, you know, and you have the hat on top, you know, with the black. Like, you know, and you're worried what people think about you. Like really? Like, you know, right, you know, they're going to think I'm normal, but if I say that, they think I'm strange. And I say, Rosham, I love you. Oh, wow, that guy's weird. And if they do think that, who cares? Because, Rosham, I do love you. I do have that emotion of the Rosham. You're so good to me. I'm learning Rosham's Chumash. I'm learning his Chumash. I'm learning the Torah. I'm learning the word of God, the Creator that he allowed us. He spoke to mankind. He spoke to Klal Yisrael. You know what that means? To be able to sit there and learn his words? To connect to him through that, well, we say the bracha of Birchas Hatorah in the morning. We talk about the Ava of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The bracha of Birchas Hatorah in Kriyas Shema is bracha of Ramayisu be'Ava, Ava Rabba Avtonu. It's tremendous Ava. The Bereshit gave us a Bria. That's the first step. And the second step, the Bereshit gave us Torah, and we have to feel that Ava, and we have to reciprocate that Ava. So my suggestion, my humble suggestion, and not so humble suggestion, depending on who you want to say it, right, for the year is, it's a year to think about. Now, I have to tell you, just the fear is, outside it's a scary year. You know, if you want to focus on what's going on in the world, it's a very scary year. And what the Russians' plans are, I don't know. And as I said before, I don't like predicting because I get group with a certain group of people who are able to predict things nowadays. And I'm not a woman. I'm not a cop. But what's the Rosh Hashanah asking from me? He's asking me to interpret the things? No, I don't think so. He's asking me to recognize that in control. And the world, which we thought we had so worked out, and everything was worked out, and every, you know, and it all made sense, we realize it doesn't make any sense because He's in control. But what are we supposed to do with that thought process? To feel that reality, to feel the reality that He is in control, and that feeling should be a feeling of love, a feeling of the person's care and concern, the warmth of being cocooned in the Parshim's hands. One of the Baal Chassidus said, is not Tarchacha, it's Nechama. That's such an awesome thought. The person sees every moment of his life, it's not. There's a person went through the camps, and he was from Poland. Poland, they had it the worst because they were the Russians. The Germans came in 1939 and left in 1945. They were under them for 6 years, and he was in the camp to camp to camp. And finally, he was liberated, and he was lingering there in the camp. And they asked him, "What are you lingering? Get out of here!" He says, "You don't understand. I spent six years of Yom Kippur and Eva. I want to hold on to that moment for a moment. I lived with the Kodesh Baruch Hu being the only real reality and feeling His presence and His love and His care and His concern. How can I leave it?" We're living in a moment which is not that scary, but a little bit. What we're supposed to see is His love and His care and His concern. That every moment, it's hanging on a thread. But who's holding that thread? And who's holding on to you? Your Creator. Precious. And our vote is to give back, find ways to give back, to appreciate every moment, every way He allows us to give back. Hashem did a tremendous chesed that He allows us to give back. He gave us a command to give back. And our goal is to do that with a simcha, where we have that precious moments to give back.